The Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Landry, LandryFootball.com. We will encourage you to get his service. He provides a lot, including the podcast and much, much more football information. That is college and the NFL. That includes recruiting and also the NFL draft. Chris, how you been, sir?
Bill, been doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I wanted to ask you, and I don't think I've asked you this yet. Is Josh Jacobs the top running back off the board?
Well, I think there's a good chance he goes in the first round. If you're looking at the top backs, I think he brings the most versatility of the bunch. How high that'll be, I don't think it's going to be really high, but I do think he's going to go in the first round. So, yeah, I do think there's a really good chance. It's not a great year for backs. There's some good ones. I think he brings about a lot of versatility. I don't think he's Alvin Kamara, but I think he has a lot of the qualities that Kamara has in terms of his versatility.
We were talking yesterday. There's a running back in Houston, and this is this next recruiting class, the class of 20.
Oh, yeah.
Named Zach Evans, and they're saying he may be the best in a while. To me, the gold standard in recent history is Adrian Peterson. And Adrian did it in high school. He did it at Oklahoma, did it in the NFL. Matter of fact, he's still around. So my question to you is Peterson indeed over the last 20 years at running back kind of the gold standard? Or who would it be if not?
Yeah, I think he's one of the handful of guys. Well, I don't even know if it's a full handful of guys that I looked at. Because I hear this a lot. Well, this guy could go straight to the NFL.
Right.
No, you can't. You know, the mental and emotional maturity is, you know, they're not ready for it. But physically, Adrian was one of the few guys that I thought could go into the NFL and have, right out of high school, and have an impact. He was that good. He was phenomenal coming out of high school. And he had, obviously, a great freshman year at Oklahoma. Yeah, absolutely. In the past 20 years, and you're right. Great college career, really good pro career. I would probably say, Herschel had a great high school career, but as you remember, he played in Wrightsville, Georgia, very small high school. So you look at it, and you know, you had to look at level of competition. And I remember seeing Marcus Dupree coming out of Philadelphia, Mississippi, who was phenomenal. But, Herschel obviously had the great college career, good period in the USFL and obviously in the NFL, but not as productive of a pro career as Adrian Peterson has. And, of course, Marcus had, he floated around a bunch. But when I think of the best backs that I've ever seen coming out of high school would probably be those guys. Bo was pretty good too. Bo Jackson. There are a number of others, but those jump out. But this kid is special, and I'm curious to see how well he develops and where he ends up going. It'll be a nasty little fight in the state of Texas. I know that.
You know, just a couple of years ago, I was hearing the same thing about Leonard Fournette. I tell the story.
Yes.
Jerry Hamilton, who is now with ESPN, said he was down there in New Orleans at a spring practice, and the team was already on the field. The high school team was on the field, and I guess that would be what – did he play at St. Aug down there in New Orleans? I believe so.
Correct.
Anyways.
Correct.
And a player comes wandering out and onto the field late. And Jerry Stalker, the coach, says, "Who's that kid? He's late." And he goes, "Oh, that's my eighth grader, Leonard Fournette. He's like 6'1", 200 then. You know, I mean, just crazy." He was supposed to be that. And, frankly, he showed flashes of it. But, Chris, something I want to ask you, and you're down there. He seems unusually hurt. I mean, almost to the point of – and, look, when watching Leonard Fournette when he's right – it kind of would sound dumb to call him soft because some of those plays he made. Remember that Auburn game? I mean, this guy was an animal.
Mm-hmm.
But
correct.
It's almost like he's perpetually injured. What's the problem there?
He's not a hard worker. He's always been coddled, entitled, and, you know, it was that way in high school.
Right.
It was that way with Ed. I mean, there, you know, there are a lot of issues there at LSU that never really, you know, really went reported, but, you know, it's kind of like, I mean, this is just one example, but the Florida game where he was injured, hadn't practiced in a week and a half.
And he's going to fight pregame, that game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Game, went into the locker room and told him, "I'm playing, I'm suiting up." And, you know, instead of doing what you're supposed to do, no, you're not. You hadn't practiced. You had not. Okay. You know, and so he goes in and he plays it. He did his own thing. He would get in the locker room and he would, you know, he was kind of the quote unquote anointed team leader that would come in and he would just chastise players. And there he was half practicing, hanging out in the locker room, goofing off. He's just, and he's been that way in the NFL. Tom Coughlin had a heart to heart with him this offseason. Remember he had kind of that, well, you may not have known, some of your listeners that follow the NFL closely, he had an in-the-loop moment or two at Jacksonville this year and, you know, had Yeldon with him and it's not been a really good locker room presence in the NFL. That's the story on him, just not someone, kind of a guy that's been very entitled and not the hardest worker, and that's why he's always injured. Some of that's just, you know, buzzard's luck, as we like to call it. But a lot of it is just he doesn't work hard enough. He doesn't prepare his body well enough. He's kind of the body beautiful type, but he doesn't do the things. He's not running the hills like Walter Payton did, you know, certainly, you know, throughout his career. And he's not going to have that long of a career if he continues to comport himself like that. And he's going to cost him you know, his next contract is going to be significantly less if he doesn't turn his attitude around.
What's happening? Players that are getting ready for the draft, what's going on right now with them? What are they doing right now?
Well, the trend has been obviously for years and years. Guys have signed up with an agent who is tied in with a group that helps players train for the combine. So they're working on a number of things on and off the field. It's like a school. They wake up, they'll have their workouts, they'll do their agilities, they'll do their football drills, and they'll spend time on how to prepare for interviews, taking some of the tests because they have a, you know, based upon previous experience what the tests are like. And so they get them prepared for all aspects of the combine, quote unquote, to hashtags here, win the combine, so to speak. So that's what guys do. They prepare for it. Very few of them are engaged in staying in school and doing those things, which is unfortunate. But that's kind of what they're doing at this point and getting ready for that. And obviously we're going to get there middle next week. We start the workouts a week from Friday and through the weekend. And, you know, that's what they're doing at this point. And then after that, they spend time, you know, getting ready for their pro day. So it's an entire spring of preparation for getting prepared to put your best foot forward for your pro football job interview.
Chris, give us an example of a workout warrior really did well at the combine everybody kind of got seduced by this, ended up not being a very good football player. Give me a couple examples of that, because that's almost every year, right? Somebody will do that to us.
It does. I think people overvalue him. Mike Mamula is probably the one that is most noted. There have been others, but Mike Mamula at Boston College had a decent career. I mean, he was a decent player. I can remember having an early fourth-round grade on him. I can remember to this day exactly, and that's kind of what he was. But he was a tremendous athlete, and he went to the combine, and he blew things away. And the Eagles took him in the first round, and he certainly never lived up to that because he just wasn't as good a football player. People always ask me, well, why do you do all that? Why do you have all these workouts? All the workouts do is give you a gauge of what a guy's athletic abilities are as an athlete and what their potential is athletically. Doesn't tell you how good a football player is, a guy is. So when you move him up because of that, you move him up inaccurately and you make mistakes. You've got to go back to the tape, and here's what it does. If a guy doesn't play as well in his pads athletically as he does working out, you got to figure out why. And so maybe guys just doesn't have that ideal love, and maybe he's not quite as tough. Maybe he's not quite as smart as you think, because football is a reactive sport, and your athletic qualities get reduced by your inability to know where to go and what to do. So as I always say, it's the 90% rule. 90% of the time, a guy's workout matches his film. It's the 10% of the time when the workout doesn't match its film that it makes you go back and study why. And there have been a few guys like that. He was the biggest one. But there are a lot of guys that don't have good film but work out well but still become great players. I mean, there have been a lot of them. Jason Pierre-Paul was a guy that at South Florida, great workout guy, didn't have much – positive film. But when you go back and do your homework, you got to know why. You can't just say, oh, this guy's not a football player. You got to go and see. Well, he knew very little about football. He was from Jamaican heritage that didn't grow up around the game. And so is he smart? Well, you did your homework. You're smart. He would work hard. Well, then you got yourself a football player if you take time and develop him. This is a guy that had he been polished, he'd have been a top 10 pick. He slid to the bottom of the first round, and there you go. You have an all-pro for years and years. So you have a number of those cases. That's why you can't eliminate. You can't assume. If you assume, you're going to end up looking like the first three letters of that word. So you've got to be very thorough in your evaluation of the football player, the football character, the personal character, their athletic qualities. I can remember looking at Carl Nix, who came out of Nebraska years ago. And he didn't have very good film at Nebraska. Didn't play very well. He goes to the combine. He's a guard. And he played some tackle at Nebraska. And he is super athletic, super flexible, great feet. And you can't figure out why it doesn't translate on the football field. You watch him on film. The head comes up a little bit. He plays a little bit high. Well, long story short, when you do the homework, you realize he had – some hearing deficiency in one ear that never been tested. So he's always kind of lifting up his head a little bit to hear a little bit of the audible. And therefore he was high at the point of attack on snap. And he's as good as he is. He's getting ridden out and he's just not that very good. Sixth round pick, was the best guard in the league for a few years and was with the Saints, got a massive contract with the Bucks. And played very well until he unfortunately got caught with that insidious MRSA infection that shortened his career and threatened a lot of his livelihood. But the point was, you didn't do your homework. You think, oh, this guy's a soft player. But he wasn't soft. He was tough. He was smart. He would learn. But when you did the homework, you couldn't figure out, well, why is he always playing a little high? Well, once you figure that out, moved him to the other side of the line of scrimmage, you did – medically, they did some things that improved his hearing. And all of a sudden, the guy is a Pro Bowl player. was a six-round pick and was very average at Nebraska. It happens all the time. What are they being taught in college? Who's teaching them? You know, those are things that you can learn a little bit about. You know, I mean, we just talked about it. If you're going to draft on production, you might not even want to even sign Alvin Kamara as an undrafted free agent. The guy's is you could make a case he's one of the top three or four running backs in all of the NFL. He had no production at Tennessee. You had to really dig down into why that was. And transferred from Nebraska. So you're thinking, transferred from Alabama. So you're sitting there thinking, okay, he didn't make it there. There's some problems. He goes to Tennessee, he's not productive. Well, he wasn't taking his high. Well, that's a mistake. If you didn't do your homework, you didn't figure out how good this guy could be and likely would be, and a lot of people missed on him, and just about everybody would like to have Alvin Kamara right now, and he's going to have a monster second contract when it comes up in a year or so. So I'm going on and on in here, but it's that's really what you have to look at. It's not about athletes. It's about football players. But in order to be a good football player, there are certain level of athletic traits that must be there for every position to transfer to the next level, and you got to do your homework on all aspects of it.
I'll let you go with this. Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com, and we'll obviously point you towards how to get all his information. Steven down in Atlanta points out Trent Richardson. Why was he a bust?
Trent Richardson was a bulked up, not very athletic or explosive guy. So he was more of a one-back runner that was not real versatile. Two, this is the biggest issue. Good kid. In fact, great kid. In fact, gullible kid. Gets into the league, and he's got everybody, every cousin, every friend of a cousin. He starts giving his money away to help everybody. Not only is an immediate family, you know, buying them houses and whatnot, and he becomes very, very distracted on taking care of other people's problems, and he doesn't know how to say no. And so all of a sudden, he's not as well focused and prepared on what he needs to do. And again, he's a guy that to me is a lot like LeGarrette Blount, who's came out of Oregon, had a decent career, but is a short yardage power runner that, you know, once he runs over you, can show some build-up speed, but he doesn't have the shake to beat you in a hole. And behind a really good offensive line in college, was a dominant player. But in the NFL, when you've got to make you miss a little bit more, he just wasn't very good at it. Now, he's gotten his life back together off the field. And again, he didn't do anything bad. He just learned how to say no. And he is tearing it up in the Alliance League right now. So he'll get another chance. He won't get the huge contract, but he'll get a chance to be perhaps the next LeGarrette Blount, which is somebody that can earn a living in the league for a little while.
Tell everybody how they can get all of your stuff.
Hey, check at LandryFootball.com. Check us out. As you like to say, there's no off season, and there's definitely not an off season for us. I mean, we just go into the player personnel end of the football world, college football, for example. If you haven't checked it out, we've got a lot of great feedback. Do so. We've broken down every school's recruiting class, graded every player, given scouting reports on all the players, so you want to check that out. All the transfer news and information. Coaches still making move on the assistant coaching staffs. All the transfer information. How players, your favorite players in college, are doing with that draft preparation and how they're looking and how people are talking about them around the league. If you're an NFL fan, free agency's right around the corner, the draft. We cover all that for you, break it down inside the film room. That's what we do for you. We're like your own scouting department, your coaching department, at your own disposal for less than a magazine subscription. We've got a scouting season savings, which is the best package we've ever had. It's if you take advantage of the year offering, what a great opportunity to take you through all of this, and obviously all the way through next football season to this time. So check us out on Twitter, at Landry Football. If you like football, you'll love LandryFootball.com. And be sure to sign up for the War Room newsletter. It's free. And we provide some nuggets in there that or not suitable for publication, but some interesting information every week that is, well, let's just say it's just some water cooler talk around the football world. I think you enjoy that. Just go to LandryFootball.com, go down the right side. You'll see War Room, click on it, send us your email, and that's free. So there's no excuse to not at least get involved and enhance your enjoyment of the football world, college football, and the NFL.
Chris, appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, Bill. Take care.
There he is, LandryFootball.com. Chris Landry. Rusty Manziel coming up next. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Hello, I'm Greg Pogue, and welcome to This Week in Ojai Valley Conference Basketball, presented by Puckett's Grocery and Restaurant, where the main ingredients are real food, real people, and real atmosphere. Just 2 weeks remain in the regular season, so be sure to make plans to be at the Ford Center in Evansville March 6th through the 9th for the 2019 OVC Basketball Championships, presented by Visit Evansville. And single-session tickets are now available. For complete information and to purchase tickets, visit ovcsports.com/Evansville. Murray State's John Morant broke the OVC single-season assist record with assist number 256 last Saturday at Eastern Kentucky, breaking a record that has stood since 1987. Morant leads all NCAA players with 10.2 assists per game and is 54 assists away from 10th place in NCAA history. Morant was named the Naismith Trophy and CollegeInsider.com National Player of the Week after averaging 28 points, 10 assists, and 7 rebounds in 2 road wins. Austin Peay's Terry Taylor had 42 points and 18 rebounds in a win at Morehead State. He's the only player in Division I to have a game with 40-plus points and 15-plus rebounds this season. The Belmont women's team can clinch at least a share of its third straight OVC regular season championship with one more win and have a two-game cushion in the overall standings with 4 games to play. Austin Peay's Taylor for a 4th time and Murray State's Morant for a 7th time were named OVC Men's Players of the Week, while UT Martin's Craig Randall was top newcomer. Ben Harvey of Eastern Illinois was Freshman of the Week. Belmont's Darby Maggard was named OVC Women's Player of the Week, while Murray State's Evelyn Adebayo was top newcomer for her 10th weekly award this season. Jacksonville State's Yamia Johnson was Freshman of the Week. This has been This Week at OVC Basketball, presented by Puckett's Grocery and Restaurant, where the main ingredients are real food, real people, and real atmosphere. I'm Greg Pogue, wishing everybody a great week of OVC basketball.
Nothing's more Tennessee than Puckett's Grocery and Restaurant, where live music meets slow-smoked barbecue, home-cooked veggies, country breakfast items, burgers, and more, with the kind of hospitality you'd expect to find in the South. With locations in downtown Nashville, Franklin, Murfreesboro, Chattanooga, and Columbia, Tennessee. If it's Gulf Coast seafood you're after, visit Puckett's Boathouse in downtown Franklin. Bring Puckett's to your next party. Whether it's a barbecue dinner or something traditional, Puckett's has catering for any party cravings. To learn more, go online, visit Puckett'sGrocery.com.
50% of Americans have gum disease, and most of them don't know. That's dangerous. Many serious medical conditions, such as high blood pressure, are associated with gum disease. Routine dental exams can detect signs of high blood pressure, so it can be treated sooner. Delta Dental of Tennessee has group and individual plans that feature a wide network of dentists trained to spot health conditions connected to your mouth. Learn more at coveryourmouth.com.
You a wide latitude on topics because Bill King isn't afraid of your telephonic interaction.
We went long there with Chris. Chris is so full of information. So I don't have regrets there, but it means we're going to have to tighten this thing up a little bit to get Rusty in on time. So I'll kill a couple of seconds here and then we got to get another break. So I apologize to you folks for that, but we went long with very good intentions, because Chris is very good. Rusty's very good. He's coming up here. After that, plenty of hangout time. 888-702-5494. Twitter at Bill is King. And remember, you can email me, BillisKing7@gmail.com. Interesting about Trent Richardson there. Yeah, I thought he'd be a big-time pro. I thought incorrectly that he would be an NFL star. He is tearing it up in the AAF, though, from what I understand. I have heard from several people that said exactly what Chris said right there. Rusty's coming up. If you have any questions for Rusty, just hit me up on Twitter, at Billis King, and I'll pass them on to him. Skip the break here. Quick turnaround. Omni Nashville Hotel.
A crash with injuries at 65 South and Harding in Creve Hall. Still clearing a second wreck with injuries near Cane Ridge High School on Old Hickory Boulevard. More collisions on 440 West at the Nolansville Pike exit and on Nashboro Boulevard at Village Green Drive. Prince's Hot Chicken, the original authentic Nashville Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolansville Pike in South Nashville. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
Southern hospitality with a modern twist. Kitchen Notes in the Omni Nashville Hotel offers a farm-to-fork experience for breakfast, lunch, supper, and Sunday brunch. Kitchen Notes uses the freshest ingredients to create great food in a casual dining atmosphere. Don't miss Nashville's only award-winning biscuit bar, serving up a house-crafted sweet, savory, buttermilk, and gluten-free biscuit every day. Try our award-winning patty melt or the grilled pimento cheese sandwich with a side of house-made Tennessee honey slaw, and dessert is always a must in our house. Whether it's in the main dining room or two of our private dining rooms, be sure to make Kitchen Notes part of your downtown Nashville experience. Check out Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville. For reservations, call 615-761-3700. Complimentary valet parking is always available.
Do you have $10,000 or more in outstanding federal student loans? You may qualify to have your entire student loan forgiven with one free call. That's right. If you're a teacher, police officer, firefighter, or work for a nonprofit, you may qualify for new federal programs to have your entire student loan forgiven. Graduate Service Center wants to give you free information on all the programs that can help. The sooner you call, the faster you can get relief. Get the maximum loan forgiveness, loan reduction, or consolidation available. Plus, find out in the first free call what you qualify for. A loan forgiveness specialist is standing by to answer all of your questions for free. Stop worrying about student loan payments. If you have $10,000 or more in federal student loans, this information could change your life. Call 800-315-9956. 800-315-9956. Wipe out your federal student loan debt. Find out how. Call 800-315-9956. 800-315-9956.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast has a flood advisory continuing through noon. There's a good chance for showers this afternoon. It'll be partly sunny with a high 52. More showers, we can have a thunderstorm overnight, a low 43. The more rain, we can have a thunderstorm on Friday, our high 57. Again, today's high 52, and utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Rod Tanner.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Doesn't know everything about college football. Yeah, he does. It's the Bill King Show.
Always good to have Rusty Manziel here, 24/7 Sports. How you been, good friend?
Oh man, trying to survive this rain. I guess same as you up in Nashville, down in Atlanta today. About to hit the road and see some prospects. And goodness, man, I just need to see the sun.
I know. It's been, and it's coming back over here. It's coming back over the weekend. So
that's what I heard.
Yeah, not good. Talk to me about the Auburn-Georgia game, and beginning in 2020, that one will go in the slot that historically has been the Georgia-Tennessee game.
Yeah. You know, just for talking to people, obviously our Auburn 24/7 site, Auburn Undercover, Brandon Marcello broke that story a couple of nights ago, and I'm just checking with sources on my end, and you know, basically came down to the SEC office. I don't think it was that big a deal The Georgia fans are pretty opinionated on it. I don't think really, truthfully, it was that big a deal maybe to Kirby Smart and his guys. What I do say about that is obviously the Georgia-Auburn game is always big. Now you take the Tennessee game and you put that late in the year, and with Tennessee improving, with their recruiting, and if they can continue the path they're on, and you know, that makes a very interesting late SEC East game every year now, starting there. So, you know, you look at that game and people say, well, you know, a late loss and this and that. But more importantly, somebody's going to lose a conference game on the East side late in the year between two teams that are normally considered, you know, favorites over the years. So I think the bigger picture is an SEC East game has been moved to later in the year, not so much a Georgia-Auburn game has been moved, but the SEC East game has been moved.
Yeah, because and I know Kentucky fans, heck, Vandy's been beating Tennessee too, Missouri. Mm-hmm. They're going to take exception to this. But if the East is right, mm-hmm. at least historically, you've got Georgia, Florida, Tennessee all in the mix there down the stretch. And it makes that game at the very end maybe a deciding type. Maybe Florida needs one of those two to lose to win the East.
Absolutely. You know, you look at the Kentucky game this year, Georgia-Kentucky. With Kentucky's success, that made that game the SEC East Championship late in the year. Now, look, it's going to be – Jeremy Pruitt has to put his product on the field, but it starts with recruiting. And I don't care who you're a fan of. You see what Jeremy Pruitt is doing. They're obviously recruiting well, and they're going to field a better team. So, you know, to me, the bigger picture in this whole thing is that's going to be probably a really big SEC game in 2020 in the SEC East later in the year. So I would love to hear the opinions of Georgia on that, but obviously this came down from the SEC office. My opinion, no inside information, my opinion is probably was the deal of, hey, you're not, Auburn's not going to the SEC East, but we will break that Alabama-Georgia back-to-back weeks. We'll break that up for you. So, you know, that's kind of, I think, what happened coming down from the SEC office.
Have you had a chance to look at, and I saw Georgia mention with him, among other teams, Zach Evans out of Houston, the running back?
Yeah, he's an easy one. I love the saying in the Marcus Dupree 30 for 30. Fred Akers said he was a six-footer. You watch about 6 foot of film, and you knew you had a player.
Right.
And you look at Zach Evans, look at Kendall Milton and Marshawn Lloyd. This 2020 running back class nationwide is absolutely very deep. I mean, very deep. But when you watch Zach Evans, and I get you to watch Kendall Milton out of California, when you watch those two backs, you just look at those guys, and you don't have to watch any more tape. You just watch a second go, yep, he's a dude. And Zach Evans is something special at a big-time high school there in the Houston area. So it'll be interesting with him, but it is fun to watch film like that.
Because, I mean, I was reading up on him, and again, I've heard all the hype for 35 years on players, or more, and some are right and some are wrong. I mean, it's mm-hmm. sometimes it is right, but I mean, they're talking about the best running back. At least I saw a few people say since Adrian Peterson, and he's kind of the gold standard.
Yeah, look, he's up there. There's no question. I'll say this, and I've made it publicly known before pre-injury. Zamir White was, since I've been in the business, the best running back tape I've ever seen, because the difference with Zamir White was he was a 210, 215-pound guy. He was a 10,500-meter guy, but he also wasn't stiff. Keith Marshall was a 10,500-meter guy, but he had very little change of direction. And you learn with different types of evals, and Keith Marshall was the number one running back in the country that year that Todd Gurley came out. Because everybody was enamored with his speed and everything. The difference with Zamir White was the change of direction he had, the ability to make you lose him in small areas. You go back and you look at Zach and you say, this guy is on that type of level. So Adrian Peterson is obviously going to be that guy for a long time until somebody knocks him off for me. But you look at Zach Evans, and he's certainly worthy of mention that in that group of guys.
Throw out a couple of the kids you've seen here recently in Georgia that are well-known or not well-known that are standing out to you.
Well, you know, and that's a great question, because last week I was down and hit the West Georgia, kind of Alabama area over into Phoenix City, down into South Georgia. There's two young men, and you take Tank Bigsby out of Callaway High School. You know, on the 24/7 sports composite rankings, I believe he's in the top 40 players in the country, regardless of position. I weighed him last week. He was 203 pounds. He's got Alabama, Tennessee. He's got Georgia. He's got South Carolina. He's got Florida. He's got all these schools that are after him. He's a running back. He doesn't get a ton of mentions right now because there's like five, quote-unquote, elite running backs in the country right now, and not many people are talking about Tank Bigsby. Talked about Tennessee last week. They recruit him hard. He's going to go up to Georgia this weekend. And to me, it was just surprising when you see him in person, how put together he is. He played the defending state champions, Hapeville Charter, 2A in Georgia. He put 240 on them and four touchdowns in the quarterfinals year. I was there. And surprises me. Another young man, and look, I've been doing this a long time in Georgia. I had to look on a map to find this place. Ellaville, Georgia is in Slade County, which is southwest middle Georgia is the best way to describe it. About an hour and a half southeast of Columbus, for people that kind of know that area. They got a young man there, Zacchaeus Walker. He's 6'4", 260 pounds. And Nick Saban, Dan Mullen, Jeremy Pruitt, Kirby Smart, Gus Malzahn, all either landed a helicopter at that school or drove up to that school in January. He has an 84-inch wingspan. He's been to one camp ever. He's in the smallest town. There's not a Walmart within 2 hours of that place. And I'm telling you right now, I went and saw him in person. Great young man, absolutely floored at looking at him and his length and his body size and what he could potentially be. And there's a lot of schools after him.
Rusty Mansell with us, 24/7 Sports. Everything settled at Georgia on the staff?
Should be. They're going to do some off-the-field things. Of course, the on-the-field job's there. You lose a guy like Jay Johnson, who was the former Minnesota offensive coordinator. Kirby Smart brought in as a QC guy. Mel Tucker hired him, his offensive coordinator. You bring in Tyson Summers, who was the former Georgia Southern head coach. You bring him in an off-the-field role. Mel Tucker hired him as his defensive coordinator after Dan Lanning turned that position down. So you got some, you know, this QC jobs now, like Major Applewhite going to Alabama, it's turned into, hey, who's somebody else on somebody else's salary that we can get cheap here that's still of great value. So I think Georgia's got some off-the-field roles to fill, but as far as the staff, it's set in place and announced Dan Lanning. Defense coordinator Glenn Schumann also with the title of co-defense coordinator. So off the field stuff is kind of what we're watching right now.
You know, it's interesting. Jeremy Pruitt feels like it's like Jeremy at Tennessee feels like Georgia is the place to be, meaning got to recruit the hell out of that place. Georgia can't take a ball. And Alabama can't take them all. Clemson can't take them all. We got to go down there and get players. But what's interesting is Georgia took three players from Tennessee this year.
Yeah, and you look at – and I've been – like getting back to this, I've been doing this a while. Georgia is recruiting out of state like I've never seen them. Now, I don't think Kirby Smart is passing on the state of Georgia kids. I think they're looking at their board, and if they got a cornerback they like better than player B, it doesn't matter where player B is, they're going to go after player A. And I think that comes from that Alabama, you know, when people actually look at an Alabama roster and find out where those kids are from, and look, there's a ton of players in Georgia, obviously, but if you're going to let Kenyatta Watson go out to Texas, well, you better get Tyreek Stevenson out of Miami. You know, if you're going to get, you know, if some of these guys, if Ramel Keaton from Marietta is going to go to Tennessee, well, you better get George Pickens from Hoover. And that's what Georgia's doing. It's either player A or player B. And, you know, so they're looking at their board, they're trusting their evals. Georgia's still recruiting the state of Georgia heavy, but they're also not afraid to go anywhere in the country and recruit, obviously, with Clay Webb and George Pickens, the top two players in the state of Alabama this year, which absolutely blows my mind.
Rusty Mansell with us, talking football, recruiting, players, staffs, all of that. The Tell me about, and I'll let you out the door on this one, the kid out of Marietta who's 6'5", 255, and he's listed as an athlete. What the hell does that mean, athlete?
Know what that means? We don't know what the hell he is, but he is a damn good-looking athlete.
Right. Eric Gilbert. Yeah, Eric Gilbert.
Yeah, actually, great kid. Young man I met in eighth grade. Kirby Smart actually offered him in the eighth grade. He was at Wilbert Academy, a private school here in Atlanta. Transferred over to Marietta. He'll be at Marietta High School. He will be able to be an early graduate there. Eric is a young man that is very grounded. His mother is a teacher there at Marietta, and he has told me this past week, he's 16 years old still, at Alabama on Saturday, he measured 6'5", 253, hand size was 10 and 3 quarters, and he is a jumbo hybrid tight end wide receiver. And you know, I've said this a lot of times on this show, I don't like to compare high school kids to NFL kids. I try to stay away from that to put that pressure off of them. But it's hard not to watch him in person. And when you watch Gronk and the problems he gives people out on the edge at his size for the Patriots, that is what I envision for Eric Gilbert, because he is a fluid, very fluid, great ball skills, tight end. And I'm telling you, Bill, when you see him in person, if I walked you in that office today and you did not know what he weighs, you would say 225 or 230. He carries 253 as good as anybody I've ever covered in this business. And he's going to play tight end at 260. And I know people are listening to that going, that's crazy. He's going to play tight end in the college football around 260, and he's going to be a problem wherever he ends up.
And he's 16. He's a young
kid. He's a young kid, yeah. Yeah, he'll turn 17, I believe, at the end of April. So he's, you know, he's a young junior in today's world. So, you know, matchup problems, he's going to be a matchup problem for teams that face him.
Rusty, appreciate you, bud.
Thank you, Bill.
Rusty Manziel. Good stuff there. Yeah, I was looking at the list, just randomly looking at the top-ranked kids for 20. And I always look Marietta, Georgia, Atlanta, all those areas, and I saw him right there. 6'5", 253, 16-year-old receiver tight end. That works for me. Yeah, I can like that too. Southeastern Termite and Pest. Give that number a call. The number is 615-293-0722. Call that number anytime. 615-293-0722. You're going to love the pricing. Pricing is going to make you happy. You're going to like the customer relations too. Been rainy, but things still get done. I tell you what, supposed to rain through the weekend, too. Going to get a little reprieve right now. For all of your pest control needs, keep that in mind. Absolutely keep that in mind. Also, keep in mind that once we get into March, termites start swarming. So there's going to be some issues there, too. So if that's an issue you have, or any others, okay, unlimited problems out there, right? Give us a shout, and we will be there to make you happy. 615-293-0722. We are now associated with a home inspector. His name is Brian, and he is as buttoned up as anybody I've ever witnessed. That's right. He is as, what would be the phrase? Attention to detail as anybody that I've ever been associated with. So if you do need a home inspection for a closing or something prior, all right, something prior, give us a ring and we'll put you in touch with him. That's the best way to connect that up. Best guy I've been around. Let's get a break. One more break here in hour number two. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Keeping an eye on a crash with injuries at 65 South and Harding and Creve Hall. Other collisions on 440 westbound at the Nolensville Pike exit, on 24 East in Woodbine at Briley, and on 40 West in Hermitage, just past Briley. Also in Hermitage, wreck on 24 West at the Murfreesboro Pike exit. ICU Security specializes in surveillance camera installation and service. Check them out at ICUSecurityInc.com. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
Hello, I'm Tom Hodges of Goggin Coldhall, a regional refrigerated company that operates within a 500-mile radius of our home in Smyrna, Tennessee. We're seeking professional drivers to join our family-owned business. Our number one priority of serving our customers is by taking care of our employees first. With a $1,000 sign-on bonus plus a driver referral program, Goggin Coldhall offers an excellent benefit package with a 401k retirement plan, paid vacations and holidays, insurance options, and a competitive pay structure that includes weekly, monthly, and quarterly bonuses. No Northeast travel, no touch freight, and with our late model Freightliner and Kenworth equipment, we promise to treat you in a first-class manner. If you're interested in joining our family at Goggin Coldhall, please visit www.goggincold.com. That's www.goggincold.com or call us at 931-225-3873. That's Goggin Coldhall, the coldest team in town.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard at Indeed.com/hire.
Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Los Angeles Kings at the Bridgestone Arena. Losers of five straight. They're plus 185 on the money line tonight against the Nashville Predators, who are minus 215 on the money line as the favorites. The total is 5.5, juiced on the under at Bridgestone Arena. College basketball tonight, Murray State favored by 14.5 points at home with UT Martin. Skyhawks are 1-12 on the road, 3-9-1 against the spread. Belmont favored by 16.5 at home with Eastern Illinois at the Curb Event Center. Eastern Kentucky a 2.5-point road favorite at Tennessee Tech. For VSIN.com, I'm Mike Sennett, WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen,
here's a smart suggestion.
Check out the new and improved WNSR.com.
You're going to have to explain that.
It's the new and improved WNSR.com. With everything a sports fan needs.
We got a whole new attitude.
All the scores. All the highlights. All the updates. All the stories. And even the new website smell from Nashville Sports Radio.
This is the most important religious event of our time.
You keep saying that, but you don't tell me how.
Log on to the new and improved WNSR.com. Number one college sports show on the planet, The Bill King Show.
Eric in Indiana tweets, Bill, the ad for Kitchen Notes on the show is making me hungry. That's right, at the Omni. Yeah, that's what we do that for. It's to get you so inclined. Now, Eric, we appreciate it. Yeah, Eric was in town, actually, at the Omni, and Crazy Charlie got to meet him. I didn't, but appreciate it all, Eric, very much, sir. Yeah, Rusty's always good. Is it possible to have better back-to-back football guests than what we just had? Again, back-to-back. With Chris Landry and Rusty Manziel. You're talking about totally obsession and ownership in a good way. Those guys have it. Outstanding. Rusty goes about the job of evaluating players, seeing them, traveling. He goes about that about as well as anybody I've ever seen. He's that good. And again, he's got an incredible state to cover, too. He watches film on lots of players, not just the Georgia kids, but I mean, he's in Georgia, and Georgia is loaded with players. Pick a sport. In this case, it's always football, but pick a sport. The state is loaded. Number one ranked basketball player in America. For the class of 19, now he reclassified, is in Georgia. That's not unusual. Number one ranked baseball player coming in, Kamir Rocker, was in Georgia. Now, he was actually here. Moved down there because of his dad's job. And now up here going to Vanderbilt, and his dad's in Knoxville, Tracy Rocker. Yeah, Tracy Rocker was great. G word. At Auburn. He was that good. Tracy Rocker. Early Pat Dye days. Early mid-1980s, Tracy Rocker. Absolute stud. D-lineman, man. Yeah, I see him at baseball games when his kid was playing travel ball and stuff. I'd see Tracy. Tracy would always go and sit. You know how baseball, whether it's Little League games or whether it's travel team games, you got your typical parents who are going to sit behind the catcher, you know, if you will, in the stands. And then you have a few parents who like to get off kind of isolated, alone. Tracy's the kind of guy that would go sit outside of third base or something. Kind of sit over there alone just to take it all in. I was the kind of guy, and I don't have any more baseball guys. My three younger boys don't want any part of it. It's boring to them. They played Little League ball, and after a couple of years, they all just said, Dad, this sucks. This absolutely sucks. I don't want to play. I said, I'm not in the business of begging you, so don't play. My two older boys played all the way up. And one of them got Tommy John, et cetera. But I was the kind of guy that I would walk around. I couldn't sit still during it. Well, I mean, and again, I'm not talking about, like, every game's important. I'm just saying, I just walk around, man. I couldn't sit still. I'm not a sit-still kind of dude. Walk up the first baseline, maybe stand for a couple of minutes behind the plate, then walk up the third baseline. Then walk back around. It's good exercise, though. Yeah, my two older ones played all the way up. Matter of fact, my oldest one, who now is at Tennessee, played just down the street at Roane State and then decided, baseball's gone about as far as it's going to go. Let's step on out and move on into the new portion of our life. Then the other one couldn't play anymore because of Tommy John, but yeah, I did all that. Did every bit of it. But yeah, Tracy Rocker. Good dude. Eric says, Bill, I wish that tight end kid that Rusty was talking about would go to tight end U, Notre Dame. Notre Dame's well off at tight end, though. Whether it's recruiting or whether it's the current roster, they're in good shape at tight end. But no, I get it. Kid like that, everybody'd love to have. Yeah, Notre Dame has churned out over the years probably as many good tight ends into the NFL as anybody. Really have. That position has been a position of strength pretty much the whole way for them. Josh says, Bill, has Karen joined ISIS yet? No, I don't think so. Although, on that audio clip yesterday that we played from Jerry Kill, he did call out Jimbo. And Jimbo so rudely. Now, if this is true, I don't know the truth here. But if Jerry Kill is right, Jimbo takes the A&M job and does not call Rick Trickett to tell him he's not going to bring him. He just doesn't call him. He does not communicate with him at all. He just left. There was no communication. Boy, how rude could Jimbo be? So I was saying yesterday that I think Jerry Kill only said that because he knew that that audio clip would get to this show. He knew that we would play it, and he wanted to troll Karen. There was no other reason to bring that up in that audio clip. You were talking about something totally unrelated to Jimbo. You were talking about PJ Fleck and the whole fake row the boat thing up at Minnesota. And at the end, he's got to take a shot at Jimbo. The saintly Jimbo Fisher. So, yeah, he was doing that just to see if he could get Karen little unglued. That was Jerry Kill targeting Karen. Not literally like in the football sense, as in the trolling sense. No, I actually, hey, Josh, I talked to Karen yesterday, and she had not yet joined ISIS. No. So I think we're good still. Hour 3 coming up, Omni.